Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pod save the king.
Hello and welcome back to Pod Save the King. I'm your host Anne Gripper, and I've just been enjoying seeing Zoe Forsey dancing along to the theme tune of our fabulous podcast. I'm at home on Zoom, so I couldn't hear it, but she is in our studio, and it was, well, it's lovely to have you back with us, Zoe.
It's so nice to hear that little jingle again. I've missed it so much. Yeah, I kind of do that thing where I forgot I was on camera, so you could see me having a little dance away there. But yeah, thank you so much for inviting me back on. It's lovely. I've missed you all a lot.
It must be nearly a year, almost. Maybe not quite, but
but not far off. Probably about 9 months, which is mad.
I mean, not a lot has happened in Royal Land since we last spoke. I mean, it's all been more mayhem.
It really has. And I can't remember the last time we had a quiet royal week. It's been very strange. We kind of thought, I think when I was going away, I think we were expecting it maybe to be a bit quieter. And I thought Meghan and Harry would end up being kind of the bigger story, which obviously they have been. But now things back here have been, well, keeping you and Russell busy.
Yes, indeed. So for long-time listeners, I'm sure you will remember Zoe Forsey, who was kindly hosting the show while I was off on maternity leave. And for newer listeners, you're in for a treat because it's great to have Zoe back. She went off on her own little transatlantic adventure, spent some time in New York when we were launching the sites over there. So we'll be interested to get her perspective on some of, I guess, a Brit, an Englishwoman in New York, and how sort of the royal stuff comes through over there. But as we've mentioned, there's a lot of royal action to catch up on from this week. I mean, when Russell and I were chatting last week, one of our listeners had said, you know, the palace have been handling the PR stuff around Kate really badly. They should be giving more updates. And we were like, no, people miss her. That's fine. We should leave her in peace. In fact, even the Holocaust survivor that William had been chatting with at the synagogue that day, she'd essentially been saying, oh, you know, I miss Kate, the Princess of Wales. I can't remember exactly how she would have referred to. I miss your wife would have been a good option to say to William. But anyway, and then we had this statement come out from Kensington Palace to basically tell everybody, just like, calm down, people. You're all getting a little bit wild, because, I mean, social media, there's been two strands of people sort of having the fun side of things. If I miss her, maybe she's at this awful Willy Wonka experience that everybody's been making fun of, and, you know, the places where they might like to imagine she has been over this period of time. But then there's other people who are just coming up with, you know, mad health theories, or I don't know whether she's been abducted by aliens. It's probably all in there. And the statement,
I think, quickly, just saying that I think the Masked Singer was my favourite one. I would love to see Kate on The Masked Singer. That was my favourite wild theory. The costume, singing all the songs.
Oh, well.
Great.
You've got a little bit, you've answered our question of the week before even knowing what it was going to be, Zoe. How brilliant.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's all right. That is just fine, because Kate's uncle is in Celebrity Big Brother, which we will talk more about later on. So I was going to ask our listeners for this week's question of the week. Which royal would you like to see in which sort of reality type contest? We've obviously had Mike Tyndall in the jungle. Zoe has declared she'd like to see Kate in The Masked Singer. We've got Kerry Goldsmith in Celebrity Big Brother at the moment. But who would you like to see? Head over to our Instagram and let us know. But yes, so back to Kensington Palace, essentially breaking with their plan of, we're not saying anything at any stage. People are going to keep badgering us. And we're just saying, no, we're not providing a running commentary. They've come out with this more sort of, really, no, we were really clear from the start. We weren't going to provide a running commentary on the Princess of Wales's health and only provide significant updates. Obviously, we've seen the madness of social media, and that is not going to change our strategy. There's been much on social media, but the princess has a right to privacy and asks the public to respect that. So, Zoe, what have you made of it all, and I guess the palace choosing in the end to come out, not say anything specifically about Kate's health, but other people's approach and I guess hunger for information.
I think it's definitely just been one of those complete whirlwinds of social media. And it's one of those things that everyone keeps messaging me saying, what's going on with Kate? What's going on with Kate? I feel like I'm kind of like giving some sort of official line, but they always said she wouldn't be back until Easter. That's still 3 weeks away. This is always what we were expecting. Obviously, we don't know what procedure she's had, but it's obviously something with a big, with a recovery time. And I just really believe she should be allowed that. And I think it's just a case of social media doing what it does, if it just goes down weird rabbit holes with all these theories. And it was, when I saw it at the start, it was kind of just, oh, it sounds awful to say a bit of fun, but it was people just very lightly, kind of making kind of, funny pictures and statements and stuff. And it's just seemed to have taken off to a really horrible level in the last kind of week and a half, with, as you said, and the fact that the palace are now having to actually come out and say, calm down, essentially, is a huge statement for them. We know, they said at the beginning they weren't going to comment, and for them to come out again and kind of reiterate that, I think says a lot about the levels that this has reached now. When at the end of the day, she's a, a woman that's had an operation and should just be allowed to, recover, as as we would all want to. It's a medical thing. But yeah, I think it's interesting to see how much it's really, how much it has really caught on and just snowballed, really, for no real reason.
And then this week, it's been a bit more other sort of things. There's the picture that was published by TMZ of Kate and her mum driving around Windsor, which obviously, it's often a thing. The British press are awful, but actually, we don't publish those kinds of pictures. There is an agreement, since, particularly since the death of Diana, that actually there is not to create that market for those pictures, but actually in other, other countries, their media are fine. That's the lookout for their how they do things in their markets. And obviously, everybody wanted to see that picture, but then obviously there was, a whole other load of conspiracy theories came out of that as well. I was like, is it really Kate? Is this the sunglasses? Is it Pippa? What on earth is going on? And I mean, we're used to seeing her like all glammed up, fully made up, smiling, almost always smiling or fully animated, rather than, just like, here I am, I'm in my car, I'm driving with my mum, I'm off duty, I'm recovering from an operation.
Exactly.
So you've got this picture that comes out, and then you had the tickets going on sale for Trooping the Colour. It was like, and Kate listed as one of the people who was due to be attending, but that's all a bit unraveled.
Yeah, so this is, I think, thrown another, it kind of feels like that thing of it's almost starting to calm a bit and then another thing happens. So this was the Ministry of Defence put out their kind of promo, I don't know what the right word is, but promo for this year's Trooping of the Colour. Obviously, as I've said many, many times on this podcast, the best royal event of the year, in my opinion, where we see all of them come out, they go on the balcony, you always get all the great colourful outfits. It's fantastic. But so they said that she was going to be there for that. So that was the kind of initial announcement, and people could buy tickets for it. However, then, so we then went to the palace and just said, oh, is this true? What's going on with it? And they wouldn't confirm what was going on. So that kind of caused a bit more confusion. And then sources have since come out and said that basically it sounds like they kind of got a bit ahead of themselves, should we say, and it wasn't confirmed. So today they've actually removed Kate from all their promo. So it sounds like it was one of those things that was probably just an innocent mistake, of just some person kind of working in the online team there, but it's caused another huge round of kind of speculation and got everyone talking again.
I mean, Trooping is sufficiently long after Easter that it would be reasonable to assume, with the communication that's happened so far, that this is an event that Kate would have every intention of going to, all being well. And the royals, it's the what they go to it. It's not like an optional thing, really. Like, they're always there. There's no real reason why you wouldn't be there. So maybe they're just, I don't know, it's a classic. Maybe it's just a communication breakdown, and actually the palace want to, they recognize that confirming Kate's first event back will be a big deal. and want to sort of own that bit of the narrative. But also, I guess until she is back at work, she is not back at work. So having a date that is there, if her return to work has not yet been confirmed, then it's unhelpful. But yeah, like it's all just been a bit of a roller coaster, and it's made me think a little bit of, you know, I was 17 when, well, 16 when Princess Diana died, so I don't have a huge sort of awareness of that time and what it was really like, and that sort of hunger and star factor. But I think I'm just really glad social media wasn't around then. Although maybe then it changes the nature of stardom in some ways, and it would have been an entirely different experience for someone like Princess Diana. And you know, there are sort of more stars now, but then that means there's no one who is such a star as Diana was. Maybe, I don't know. It's all the world of celebrity, and social media is a complicated and peculiar one, I think. I mean, it's fair to say that the royal family is definitely missing her while she's off, isn't it, Zoe?
Yeah, it really has. And you've kind of noticed, obviously, the start of the year, which obviously when we found out that she was going, you know, that she was off, she's going to be off for this chunk. The start of the year is always a bit quieter anyway. But now we're kind of really properly into the year. You know, gosh, it's somehow March already. But now we're into the year and you've kind of done a big chunk of it without her. You are really missing having, you know, the events that she does. The events that she does are always so interesting. You can tell her kind of passion for them always comes really thick. We always get really interesting lines about kind of both of the causes. And also she's quite good with giving kind of the personal details as well. So you're really missing that now. And obviously, I know that you and Russell have spoken about this quite a lot, but if it was just Kate missing, I think it wouldn't be quite as noticeable. But where obviously you still have, you know, William is still on restricted duties, and without King Charles there as well. And Camilla has actually taken this week off as well. We don't know where she's gone, but she's taken a week holiday just to kind of, I think just kind of get away from it all, really, or just have a bit of a, that probably sounds a bit mean, but you know, have a bit of a rest after an extremely difficult few months. But because you've now got that huge gap, like you don't really have anybody senior at the moment without Camilla there, because she's been really, you know, holding things together, and without her there now as well, there's not really anyone that can do. Obviously you still have Princess Anne, you still have Prince Edward, who do things and work really hard as they always do, but that kind of top level of seniority we just don't have at the moment.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it's obviously lovely to see the Duke of Kent, who's got a long-standing relationship with the RLNI, get my teeth in, the lifeboat service, their bicentenary celebration at Westminster Abbey for 200 years of the incredible work that they do. But it was, you know, so the Duke of Kent, he is elderly, and you know, that sort of generation of royals are working far harder than I would like to in my retirement, albeit it's often nice things, but they're only nice things. It's nice to do nice things by choice rather than by duty, I think, probably when you're in your latter years and a little bit creaky possibly in the mornings. But we did see William back out again on St David's Day. And
we did, but just really quickly, sorry to interrupt, just before we move on from that, just because when I was looking at the Duke of Kent, the RNLI stuff, the charity, I didn't realise this figure was so high. Since it was formed in 1824, it saved 144,000 people's lives. What an incredible, you know, what an incredible number. And understandably why so many of the royal families really support this. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, incredible. I think we quite often have seen them, you know, launching the new lifeboats and that kind of thing as well over the years. So, yeah, an incredible service with so many volunteers that make it run, really. So thank you to all of those who are saving lives at sea and on the water more generally. William, he's still not learned to pour a pint, has he? I mean,
I think he's getting worse, Anne. It was dreadful.
I mean, this appears to be one of the jobs that you need to know how to do when you're royal. You need to know how to speak a little bit of various different foreign languages. You need to be able to talk to anybody about anything. I need to be able to pour a pint.
Need to be able to pour a pint, exactly. And this one was so bad. The first one was just a complete write-off. And then the second one, normally they get it better on the second go if they are given that long to do it. But that one was dreadful as well. But then they moved on to the whiskey. And I think maybe that's the way forward. You can't get pouring a whiskey wrong.
Maybe he's one pint willy because you only ever want him to pour you one pint. Yeah. Because after that, you can do it yourself. It was a nice visit, lots of colour, the children at a different event wearing, you know, the traditional dress. As my daughter, we dressed her up for her swimming lesson in her Welsh lady dress. And I made Welsh cakes as well. Welsh cakes are a good option. So if you listeners, if you've not explored those in the past, I highly recommend. Easy to make and very delicious. And visiting Wrexham Football Club, which is obviously oddly famous these days for a relatively, let's call them unsuccessful football club.
Lower league football club, I think, is the the official term. But yes, obviously, this is the football club that was bought by Hollywood's Ryan Reynolds and Rob. I can never pronounce his surname right.
I'm going McElhenney, but it's probably
that. Yeah, I think that is right. Yes, obviously, they have bought the club and have, you know, you've got Blake Lively's rocked up. You've got all these big stars that are there. So Ryan actually wasn't there this time because he was editing the latest installment of the Deadpool movie series, which obviously he stars in. But yes, he had a little tour with Rob. Rob, who looked like he hadn't, I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but he didn't look like he dressed appropriately. He did that thing, you know, when you take a coat that's too... You've not worn a big enough coat, so you have to wrap it round you. He looked absolutely freezing, which you really should know. If you're spending that much time in Wales, you should know to have a proper big coat with you. But yes, it was really nice. They kind of walked round, chatted to, chatted to lots of people, chatted to some of the charities that the local pub supports, which is good. Also spoke with the manager and some of the players, and he was given one of the shirts, which... seems to be, if you're a royal, you must end up with a lot of sporting shirts. You do seem to get one at every occasion you go to.
And they've usually got your name on the back. So it's not like you can even stick them on the eBay very easily.
Yeah. There's just a big room of them somewhere.
As many shirts, you know, you've got Premier League footballers who've got their trophy room with all of their different shirts hanging up and their medals and stuff. I wonder what the royal trophy room looks like and the things that you choose to keep kind of on display and have for yourself. I think we saw Meghan and Harry when they were away at the Invictus session in Whistler. I think they got given some lovely blankets to take home for the children and things. So you definitely do get some nice things to add to your stuff.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And a different idea as well.
Yeah.
Like the blanket idea.
A lot of football shirts. I wonder how many William has got already. Plenty, I would imagine. One for every day of the week and some more. Other events, sort of royal events. Sophie's message, I think, to the conflict-related sexual violence survivors' rights conference, which was being held in Ukraine, but was she addressed by video link. And, you know, we've talked on the show a number of times recently, Russell and I, about her really not being afraid to be quite outspoken on important topics, saying, I mean, it's a reasonably long address, but this is the bit that sort of particularly stood out for me. It's rape requires no training, no armory, no financial backing, but is as devastating as bullets and bombs, not only in the immediacy of the attacks, but for the rest of the victims and their families' lives. And let's be clear, it is illegal. In fact, it is pure evil. Conflict-related sexual violence must end now. So, you know, that's about as clear and sort of emotive as you can get. And she paid tribute to the female and male victims in Ukraine who'd spoken about their experience. But I think, so we've seen her at some of these things, but I feel like maybe for the Duke and Duchess of Edinburgh, compared to where things were, maybe even in the later weeks and days of the Queen's reign, we maybe don't see quite as much of them or quite as prominently as we might have expected. What do you think, Zoe?
I think it was really, I thought this message that she did was brilliant. You know, we know she speaks really well and the wording of it was really strong. And obviously that kind of follows on from the very strong statement that that Prince William put out, gosh, what, 2 weeks ago now? So it is nice seeing her have this platform for these big issues. But yeah, I do think you're right. I don't think there's quite as much perhaps as we You know, when we had that right at the end of the Queen's reign, when she kind of lined, you know, it was at Christmas. They were all lined up, and they kind of did it as her new, you know, the kind of royal, I think it was eight, was it, at the time of the Queen's kind of core team. And we were really expecting them to step forward. But maybe, you know, that hasn't happened quite as much, perhaps, in the last few months, especially since, you know, Kate and Charles have been away.
We have seen Charles this week as well, unusually. So today is budget day, which big day in the political calendar. And the king, well, previously the queen, but now the king, meets with the chancellor the day ahead of the budget to talk about what's in that. Usually it is a private meeting and there's no sort of real fanfare about it. But given Charles clearly is looking for opportunities to continue to be seen in some simple and relatively low stress but quite official way. So I know we're seeing the pictures of him in the car as he's going to and from Clarence House as he's returning to London for his cancer treatment. But, you know, we saw a couple of weeks ago the video and pictures of him talking with the Prime Minister in the visit at Clarence House for his audience that he has anyway. And then so yesterday we had the pictures of him meeting with Jeremy Hunt on the night before the budget. So yeah, what did you think looking at those pictures?
I think it was, yeah, as you say, Charles always said when we obviously first had the news of his diagnosis, he said he was stepping back from public duties, but that he was was still determined to carry on with the kind of state side of being the monarch. And this felt like a good example of an extremely, you know, budget day is a huge day. Well, obviously there's lots of technical detail and lots of the kind of nitty gritty of it that I think the newsroom outside are still trying to get their heads around at the moment. But it's, you know, it's a huge day. It sets so much about what the country's finances are going to look like kind of for the next chunk of time. So it's a big, you know, a huge occasion. And this is a really important, you know, annual meeting that he has. So I think to see him still doing that sent a really strong message. And I think showing people that, you know, he's okay, which is fantastic, but also showing that he is still, you know, performing these important tasks. And I think it was really good to see. I think it was a really lovely decision, actually. It was nice to see him. And, you know, the first picture, there was a few that was released, but the first in particular, he had a big smile on his face. So yeah, it was really lovely to see, actually. It was a nice, I wasn't actually expecting them. So when they dropped into they kind of come around to us and then there's, you know, we have an embargo on them, but it was a lovely surprise when they dropped in, actually, because it was nice to see him looking so happy.
And the other thing that's always that struck me, you've got Jeremy Hunt, the Chancellor, kind of leaning down to Charles, whereas Rishi Sunak, our Prime Minister, is really quite short. So you've got a very different picture. It's much more sort of like the olden times when you'd got a Prime Minister leaning down to see the Queen in that height, disparity piece. But yeah, no, it's always... Charles definitely seemed to be putting he had his happy face on. So maybe he's paying national insurance as well and is delighted by the cut. So he's not going to be paying quite so much of it anymore. I suspect not. I'm not sure, quite sure what happened to the state pension, but that might be more up his street. So I think we should probably talk a bit about America. But first, I'm going to share the replies to last week's question of the week when I asked listeners how they thought Harry should resolve his security situation. Christine Hutchinson said, when he visits his family, his dad can arrange. When he's in business, his business can pay. Lee Hicks agreed with that. If he's not in the UK working, he can provide his own. Nicole Annette said, mend family relations. Attend family events equals security when with them. If not, you pay. Rach Steiner said his threat level is arguably higher. He should get security. Case closed. Colour with Karen agreed. He's the king's son and should have security so he doesn't end up like his mum. Christina Suter, he is still the son of the monarch and there is profound global interest in him. Protect his fam! Exclamation mark. Siobhan Williams, don't see what his issue is. 28 days notice is fair, IMO, and the state will provide security if deemed needed. Expensive taste. Love the username Spencer Eckes and seems quite appropriate with your comment. Says, no, the compromise they offered him was more than fair. Waste of dollars he doesn't have. Talking about continuing his appealing. Carol Gillen, artist, just said, send him to Mars, which would be a very different solution to things. But some very different views there. Some really quite varied views there, which probably goes to the heart of the Sussexes generally. You spent, how long were you in New York in the end? 6 months?
6 months.
So how did you see, I don't know, are Meghan and Harry big in America? Or how did it feel to you when you were out there? I mean, I know, fine, you're working in the newsroom and being busy and living a particular kind of life in New York, probably. But how much, I don't know, how much cut through did it feel like there was on American media? Are they big or are they not big?
Honestly, a lot less than I thought there was going to be. I thought it was going to be, you know, I thought it was going to, you know, obviously we went out there, I wasn't just covering royals when I was there, I was covering everything. And I thought the royals was going to be a fairly big chunky part of my job in terms of what I say, you know, kind of looking at the Meghan and Harry stuff. And it ended up being very little. Obviously, you know, the States is a very big place and we were based in New York. So it might be very different if you're more kind of over their side, if you're in, you know, LA, that side of it. But it wasn't as big as I thought. Very rarely would you see them on the telly, if you're watching any of the news channels, they wouldn't really be there. I think there was maybe a couple of bits of interviews, but no, not really a huge, as much of a talking point as I thought it would be. And even speaking to people in New York, there just wasn't the, you know, people like them, but they weren't that interested in what they, you know, kind of the latest updates. So I think here in the UK, people really love the royal family and they're still, you know, really interested. Like Kate was out and about, you know, William's doing this, like George's, you know, George started a new school. People are really interested in their lives, but I just didn't see that when I was over in America. You know, very rarely was it on the front pages or kind of the new leading items on the news. So yeah, it was really strange actually, and also a bit disappointed. I wanted to write about the royal family. It took 6 months of barely writing about them. It's very upsetting.
Well, we're very glad you've come back. But one of the things I always like to do when I go to the supermarket is just, you know, have a little scan over the front pages of the different magazines and things. Were they on the front of the, you know, the Show Busy, the magazines that you get at the hairdressers, were they on the front of those much?
A bit, probably more the magazines than they were the kind of newspaper side of it. But again, still not a huge amount. No, it was very much all Golden Bachelor, which I got into for the first. I've never really watched The Bachelor, and the Golden Bachelor was the kind of the senior version of it, and that's what took over. Great show if nobody's watched it. It's very good. But yeah, all about that, less about Meghan and Harry. We're all more interested in Terry and Teresa, as it was.
Well, since you're bringing up the TV, Uncle Gary, Celebrity Big Brother, hello.
Yes.
Sister Carol, possibly Carol Middleton, possibly not best pleased or thinking it's the greatest idea he's ever had, if reports are true. But how's he getting on?
So I never thought I would be watching Celebrity Big Brother again, to be completely honest. But obviously I saw he was on the lineup and I was like, right, let's see what he's got to say. And he hasn't disappointed. He's been in there less than 48 hours as we've recorded this, and he's already talked about Kate, talked about the conspiracy theories. He's been really quite brutally rude about Meghan and very, you know, given some strong opinions on Harry. So I think the producers are probably quite delighted in terms of how much he's, you know, spoken. So yes, it's what she said. So he was described as a businessman and commentator and a podcast host when he went in. And there was obviously that kind of awkward moment where he walked in and nobody obviously had any idea who he was. So that was quite a thing. But in his like introduction when he went in, he said, you know, when he was asked why he was going in, he said it was an opportunity to show everyone the real me, and said that he was made a villain in the press, that he wanted to say who he really was, which was interesting. And yeah, he said when he walked into the house, the two presenters kind of said, well, you know, will Kate be watching? And he said, oh, if she is, it'll be from behind the sofa. And they were like, where is that sofa? Obviously trying to kind of playing into the conspiracy side a bit. So he didn't say that, but he said he didn't know, but wherever it was, it would be he said it would be a very expensive, very nice sofa in a very nice house, which I think is probably true. But yeah, so that was really good. And then he spoke about, yeah, as I said, very early on, he spoke about Meghan, in particular. So I've kind of got the line here that he said. So he said, Kate, William and Harry, they were all really comfortable together. And then suddenly there's an extra dynamic that comes in. puts a stick in the spokes and then creates so much drama, and then kind of went on to say that it had rewritten history. So, you know, really kind of, you know, to call me, you know, describe Meghan as, you know, the, at the end of the day, the woman that Harry loves as just a stick in the spokes, I think is quite a, you know, quite a harsh one. And he had, you know, really harsh words to say about Harry as well, kind of saying, he said, you can't throw your family under the bus in such a dramatic style, write books, and then expected to be invited around for Christmas, which is, you know, I think it was sold as a bit of a controversial opinion, but I think probably quite a lot of people agree with that, to be honest, in terms of that side of it. But yeah, he's certainly been quite vocal about his thoughts on the royal, should we say.
He might want to reread those quotes to himself, or remember what he said. Don't throw your family under the bus, otherwise yeah. you won't get invited to Christmas, because that could apply to him just as well, potentially, depending how the next few
I
weeks
go. I was sitting there thinking there, going, okay. But yeah, he was really, really positive about Kate, actually. Kind of said she was fantastic, said she was brilliant. We actually had the Mirror had a really great exclusive story yesterday, which was a bit of a chat with him, where he kind of said that, you know, she does such a good job, and there's lots of interest in her, which was really lovely. So kind of talked about Carol and Pip, as he calls her, obviously speaking about Pippa Middleton. So yeah, he seems to be very positive. He's not, by the sounds of it, he's not going to go under there and be slagging off the royal family. Although I don't think Meghan and Harry are going to be quite as safe.
Well, we shall watch with interest. So reminder, listeners, let us know which royal would you like to see on which reality show. Back in the day, Prince Harry on The Bachelor would have been a good one. But now...
Oh, yeah, that would have been great.
Yeah, but, you know, there we go. Have we got anyone else in the... We have to wait a little while till it's George's turn. But that would be the Royal Bachelor, a whole new franchise.
I'm pretty sure we were promised Sarah Ferguson on Dancing with the Stars a few years ago. Where's that? Yeah. That would have been great.
Definitely want someone on Strictly. Anybody on Strictly, I'll take it. But
Zara would be good on Strictly.
Yes, come on, we'll make it. Next series, let's make it happen. And so the news from the Phillips family this week. So their Gatcombe Park eventing, 3-day eventing festival is not happening. It's run for 40 years, but because of COVID and higher insurance costs, they've said it's just not viable to continue, which is a real shame. Like, it's, I don't know, it's one of those summer things that you used to watch on Grandstand back in the day when it'd be on the telly, just a bit of 3-day eventing, horses jumping over things, brilliant. So, and it's clearly been a big part of their lives. It was, you know, Anne and Captain Tim Phillips's dream of doing it, and they brought it to life, and it's been a big part of, you know, their summer for the last four decades. So a big change. But Zara and Mike looked like they had a lovely trip to the Grand Prix, along with Fergie, Eugenie, Jacques. This Bahrain was the place to be, apparently. And my husband was watching. He did say Martin Brundle, the former Formula One driver, who is now one of the presenters, had a slightly awkward conversation with Fergie when he said, oh, I was glad to hear about your cancer news, that it's gone.
What? Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
And then Fergie was there. She was chatting with Christian Horner as well, who's obviously embroiled in this whole situation at the moment. We're seeing how that will all pan out for him. So drama everywhere.
Yes, I was going to say, the photos of Fergie, so I don't think they went down very well with people. I think people are, I think, very protective, I'd say, of Jerry still. So I think those pictures of seeing them kind of having a bit of a chat, I don't think people were overly happy. But as you said, these big events, you kind of end up chatting to everyone, don't you? And they, you know, all know each other through these kind of circles. So yeah, as you said, we shall see.
Anything that you're looking forward to in the coming up in Royal Land?
Well, it's Commonwealth Day on Monday, which I we've just kind of started looking at now, so that'll be interesting. But you know, obviously it's going to be a very different Commonwealth Day.
Few spare seats.
But yeah, it will still be nice to kind of, I think sometimes just having that kind of event, and obviously we know, you know, kind of the religious side of things, but you know, kind of being in the Abbey and bringing the royals that are kind of in, you know, doing public duties together, doing public duties at the moment, bringing them together, I think might be nice for the family to kind of have that moment.
Absolutely. Well, I'll be catching up on that in a couple of weeks' time with Russell, because I'm taking a break next week, and we have an interview with Ingrid Seward to bring you, which I hope you really enjoy. But Zoe, it's been so great catching up with you. I mean, I know I've seen you in the office and things, but we've not had like a nice little royal gossip for a really long time. So, listeners, I hope you've enjoyed hearing me and Zoe catching up and bringing you the latest royal news and, well, I guess opinions as well. We like to share our views, and I've been really enjoying hearing all of your views when you've been getting in touch with your answers to question of the week. You can send a message at any time. It doesn't have to be about that particular question. You can just send a message more generally, or you can send a little audio message if you want to, and we can actually bring your voices rather than me being your voice. Not, I don't do my queen voice anymore, RIP. But yeah, it would be great to hear your voices on the show along with ours. But Zoe, it's been great to have your voice on today. Hopefully, it won't be quite so long until the next time. But listeners, until next time.
God save the king!